The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
LinkedIn presents.
As you go through your day and encounter the normal minor challenges and setbacks, notice what you say to yourself. When you talk to yourself, are you a critic or a coach? When your negative self-talk kicks in, interrupt and change it. Speak the attitude you want to see in yourself into existence.
Hi, I'm Michael Kovnat, and this is the Next Big Idea Daily. It's Monday, and today we're here to help you level up. I mean, come on, I'm sure you're doing okay, but why settle for just okay? Why not expect more from yourself? See if you can perform at a truly exceptional level, whatever field you're in. Don't worry, you don't have to figure it out alone, because today we're joined by a performance psychologist who's worked with the Los Angeles Dodgers, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, top business leaders and medical professionals, and he spent a decade working as a psychologist for the Navy SEALs, where he developed their mental toughness curriculum. So if you could do with a dose of mental toughness, listen to these big ideas from Eric Potteret and his co-author, communications coach Alan Eagle, who wrote the new book, Learned Excellence, Mental Disciplines for Leading and Winning from the World's Top Performers. Here they are.
I'm Dr. Eric Potteret.
I'm Alan Eagle.
Our first insight is to know yourself. American figure skater Nathan Chen was the heavy favorite to win the gold medal in the 2018 Winter Olympics. But he faltered in the short program and came away with a fifth-place finish. Why? Because Nathan was too worried about what other people were saying and thinking about him. He forgot why he was there. The best performers learn to focus on their identity while not worrying about their reputation. They pay attention and draw strength from who they are, and they mostly don't care about what others think about them. Focusing on identity is a trait we're all born with. Babies and toddlers will throw fits without much regard for what such behavior does to their reputation. But as we grow older, we start to care about reputation very much. We become risk-averse and less confident as that nagging, "what will others think?" voice in the head just won't shut up. To move away from reputation and focus on identity, you need to know what that identity is. Who are you? What do you value? What do you care about and stand for? This isn't hard to figure out. But most people just don't take the time to do so. To understand your identity, create a values credo. Notice and write down the things you care about, the identity markers that define you. What brings you energy and joy? What are your core characteristics and attributes? Start with an expansive list, and then take a few weeks to think more deeply about it and cull it to its most essential elements. This is your values credo. Commit it to memory, and refer to it whenever you have to make an important decision or when you find yourself worrying about your reputation. This ensures you are acting for yourself, not others. The good news is, when you stay true to identity, reputation takes care of itself. When Nathan Chen returned to the Winter Olympics in 2022, he was armed with his values credo. When he started feeling anxious about what the press, spectators, and judges were thinking about, he successfully redirected those thoughts to remind himself why he was there. He loved skating. It was fun. Buoyed by his credo and this sense of joy, Nathan stayed true to himself and blew the competition away.
You hear a lot about the importance of mindset. There's a growth mindset, a grit mindset, a warrior mindset, a sloth mindset. Okay, I'm just kidding on the last one. Just wanted to make sure you're still paying attention. But how do you practice mindset? Carly Lloyd is one of the best soccer players the U.S. has ever produced, a two-time World Cup and Olympic gold medal winner. But in the 2011 World Cup final against Japan, Carly's missed penalty kick helped contribute to her team's defeat. Carly was devastated for weeks after that. The way to practice a chosen mindset is to control what you can control and ignore everything else. The only things you can control are your attitude, effort, and behavior. Everything else is beyond you. Now imagine the controllables are in a circle with you, and all the other stuff is outside the circle. For example, you can't control whether or not it's going to rain, but you can control whether or not you bring an umbrella. The umbrella's in the circle, the rain is not. Practicing mindset is all about staying in the circle, focusing on the things you can control, your attitude, effort, and behavior. Attitude is often manifested via self-talk. As you go through your day and encounter the normal minor challenges and setbacks, notice what you say to yourself. When you talk to yourself, are you a critic or a coach? When your negative self-talk kicks in, interrupt and change it. Speak the attitude you want to see in yourself into existence. Next, effort. This one is pretty simple. Whenever you can, choose effort. The best performers always do. And finally, behavior. The best performers refine, practice, and perfect their behavior. They visualize their performance over and over and often have some sort of pre-performance routine, a mantra they repeat, a song they play, that gets them in the right mindset. After the 2011 World Cup, Carly Lloyd stayed in her circle. She took on an attitude of confidence, telling herself that she would never miss another penalty kick in the World Cup. She refined her technique and practiced it over and over. In the 2015 World Cup tournament, she nailed two penalty kicks, and the U.S. won the cup.
Change your role, change your mindset. One morning, when I was the lead psychologist for the Navy SEALs, one of my clients, a SEAL sniper chief, came into my office with an issue. He had recently returned from a six-month, highly active kinetic deployment and was having challenges with his young son. The boy kept spilling milk at dinner, and the SEAL, whose day job requires near perfection, was not handling it well. After a third night of him becoming upset with his son, his wife demanded that he come see me. Too many people become what they do. They take their work mindset home. The problem is most people have different roles in their lives. They have jobs, but also have a family and a community and friend groups. Each of these roles requires a different mindset for success. The work mindset may be great for work, but not so great for these other roles. To be excellent in each of your roles, you need to define the best mindset for that role and then learn how to transition between mindsets when you transition between roles. Think of a dimmer switch on a light. When you leave one role and transition to another, like coming home from work, you need to turn the dimmer switch down on your work mindset while raising it on your home mindset. Pick 3 to 5 words that define each mindset for each role that you play, and make it a consistent practice to repeat those words to yourself as you transition to that mindset and role. At work, for example, you may want your mindset to be competitive, relentless, and gritty. But at home, as a parent, you may want to be empathetic, patient, and playful. Repeat those characteristics and words to yourself as part of a transition routine. I asked the Navy chief if he brushed his teeth that morning, and he said yes. And I said, "Are you going to brush them again tonight?" Again, yes. Great. Then starting tonight, while you're brushing your teeth, look into the mirror and say to yourself out loud, "I'm not at training. I'm not deployed. My son can make mistakes. My son is 3 years old, and he is going to spill his milk today, probably twice." Repeat this mantra every time you brush your teeth while you are at home. The SEAL chief said, okay. The next morning, he called me to let me know that while his son tipped his glass over the previous evening, he had remained calm. A week later, he dropped by my office to tell me that the milk spilling had stopped completely.
Every performer makes mistakes. A baseball player who makes an error, a guy on a date who spills his glass of wine. When the mistake happens, the performer is instantly presented with a critical fork in the road. In one direction, the mistake distracts the performer from the task and mission at hand. Instead, they think about the mistake. This triggers the human stress response. Breathing, heart rate, and perspiration increases. Clear, rational thought shuts down. All you want to do is fight, flee, or freeze. This is not the path to excellence. The best performers choose the other path. They don't avoid mistakes. They're human. But what they avoid is letting those mistakes turn into more mistakes. Rather than be distracted when things go off track, elite performers learn to quickly forget about the mistake and refocus on the task at hand. The psychological term for this is compartmentalization. The only reason a person who just made a mistake is more likely to make another mistake is if they think about the mistake. So, how do you not think about a mistake you just made? Create a metaphorical black box in your mind, like literally picture it now, and stuff the mistake in that box. Tell yourself, "I'm not going to think about that now. I'll worry about it later." When you lock away the mistake, you stop the human stress response in its tracks. You can quickly shift focus back to the mission, winning the game, getting that second date. Then later, unpack the box. The black box is not forever. After the event is over, open up the box and review what happened. Ensure you, your teammates, and observers are at a safe emotional space and distance from the performance. Then assess what happened and why. What can you learn from your mistakes? Were they flukes, or can you make changes to your process and get better? This is how the best performers use mistakes to their advantage. They don't get sidetracked in the moment, and later they learn from them and improve.
Imagine a beach house built on pillars. If it's built on just one or two pillars, it's always going to be unstable. If one pillar gets compromised in some way, the entire structure can collapse. But if the house has a solid foundation of five or six pillars, it's going to be rock solid even when a couple of those pillars are damaged. Life is filled with waves of adversity, so focusing on a balanced foundation is key. Every life has multiple pillars: work, relationships, health, hobbies, spirituality, and legacy. To achieve excellence, force balance between these pillars. If all you have is your job or career, you better knock it out of the park because you'll have nothing else going on. When adversity happens, balance helps you stay grounded. Imbalance can also be a problem when major transitions happen. Many top performers across every field find it challenging to retire from their careers because they have invested so little in the other pillars of their lives. The question of how much balance to force depends on where you are in life, your ages and stages. Many top performers are engrossed in their careers. At the same time, they may be starting or raising a family, so those two aspects of life will suck up a lot of their time and attention. It's daunting at this stage to find any time or energy for other aspects of life. Some of those juggled balls have to drop once in a while. This is fine. It's okay not to be 100% balanced in any given moment, but be aware of that imbalance, make it intentional, and have a plan to address it when circumstances change. But the best performers figure out a way. They create space on their calendar for a vacation and carve out time in that vacation for other pillars of life, such as health, hobbies, or spirituality.
Thank you, Eric and Alan. All right, everyone, now you've got some tools, so why not challenge yourself this week to be at the top of your game? And we're here to help. You can get all sorts of tips and tricks via the Next Big Idea app, which is available in your app store. And if you sign up for my newsletter, I'll send you a helpful summary every week of the best ideas from this podcast. Just look for the link in the episode notes or search for the Next Big Idea on LinkedIn. Tomorrow, we'll be back to talk about memory with neuroscientist Charan Ranganath, author of Why We Remember, Unlocking Memory's Power to Hold On to What Matters. I'm Michael Kovnat. See you tomorrow.